The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning on a foggy Friday, June 21st. It is a little foggy out there. You get to some of the higher points of the city, like up on Benedict Road, and it will be, at least for now, very difficult to see in front of you, but it sounds like it's going to burn off, and we'll have kind of a nice day, but punctuated with some showers and rain, sort of like we had last night. We might see a little of that today, but thankfully, maybe the temperatures won't be as hot as they were yesterday. We're looking into the mid to upper 80s instead of the mid to upper 90s, which is what we've seen in the last couple of days. Boy, that's been tough to take, but we'll get through it. We have a great show for you this morning on Morning Drive. We have Dr. Bill Cameron. He is the chair of the Pittsfield Public School Committee. Lots to talk about in the schools and in education in general. We'll get into some stuff about cell phone use in schools, I'm sure. The L.A. District making a big decision this week, and I know I want to talk to him about that and some of the other things about vocational education and boilers at Pittsfield High School, all kinds of good stuff to talk about with the Pittsfield Public Schools. First, let's go to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today and tomorrow. Berkshire
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this morning, then numerous showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind and heavy rainfall. Hot with highs in the upper 80s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Numerous showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the evening. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind and heavy rainfall in the evening. Humid with lows in the mid-60s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Saturday, mostly cloudy with scattered showers in the morning, then partly sunny with numerous showers and scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind and heavy rainfall in the afternoon. Hot with highs in the mid-80s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, that's a wetter forecast than I thought it was going to be. still hot, though, and humid, but definitely some more water, some more rain in our forecast coming up for Pittsfield and Central Berkshire County. All right, welcome to the show, Morning Drive, here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Thanks for joining us here this morning. Dr. Bill Cameron joins us, and good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Sean. I'm fine. I hope you are, too.
I am as best I can be at 7:30 in the morning. Not my native time. I'm more of a late night guy, but, we all make sacrifices. So here we are on the radio anyway.
So let's get going. Yeah. What you'd like to talk about.
Well, first of all, were you a fan of Willie Mays? Because I noticed over the last couple of days, you've posted a couple things about him, let's talk about Willie Mays for a moment.
Willie Mays was I actually saw him play three times.
Wow!
I saw him play in New York at Shea Stadium in 1965. We went to a couple of games down there over a weekend. Excuse me, and I saw him in the last season of his career in play at Jarry Park in Montreal.
Hmm.
Played first base that night.
Who was he playing for at that time?
He was playing for the Mets.
For the Mets, okay.
Yeah, Joan Payson, who had owned the Mets. She was the original owner of the Mets, was a huge New York Giants fan.
Hmm.
And she could never persuade Horace Stoneham to sell Willie's contract or to make a trade for him because he was the preeminent player of his time and probably as good as anybody who has ever played the game.
Yeah.
And So he was not at his, in his prime in 1973. I think he was about 42 years old.
That must have been his last season, too.
And so she persuaded the Giants to trade him to so he could finish his career where he started in New York. Yeah, I really admired Willie as a he seems to have been a very decent man, and he was a he was the greatest player I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's great to have seen him, and what a great all around player. knowing that he also missed a couple of years serving in the I think it was the Army during the Korean War. So he actually some of the statistics he had might have actually been more, maybe even breaking Babe Ruth's record had he been in the major leagues during those times.
Yeah, I mean his situation was similar to what Ted Williams was in World War II in Korea. I mean Willie missed two seasons as he was just getting going. I mean, he could have hit 50 or 60 home runs in those seasons. And Williams, I think, missed five seasons between the two wars, and he was certainly a power hitter as well. So those records the records they have now would have been inflated, I think, by the opportunity to play in those years.
Yeah. Interesting, you know, going back and looking at some of these greats who have made it as long as they did and, you know, had notable careers for sure. But the Say Hey Kid, Willie. Let's talk about let's wrap on the 2023 to 2024 school year. Just finishing up, the high school graduates are done. The school year is over. Let's look back at that. How do you look back on this year? How did we do?
I think we had a generally successful year. You had mentioned about cell phones. We were talking before that this was the first year of our effort to control. I mean, seriously, control the use of cell phones in school, and in particularly by students in classes. It continues to be an issue. The fact that we've had a ban on that for years.
Yeah.
It was not uniformly enforced, mainly because teachers felt that the enforcement interrupted instruction, and the administrators thought that they wouldn't be doing much else besides chase down cell phones when there are a lot of other issues, important issues that they need to deal with during the course of a school day. I hope that we get a report from the superintendent on the cell phone policy as it as the new regulations took effect. I know that there have been books published lately having to do with the deleterious effects of social media on young people, particularly elementary and middle school aged kids.
Psychological effects, learning deficiencies, all kinds of stuff, right?
Yes, and you know, we have bullying problems. Bullying is part of human nature, it seems. And
story about that today in the Berkshire Eagle, actually.
I saw that about Lennox. Yeah. What we may need to look at this policy again. I'm speaking for myself. This hasn't been discussed with the school committee, but. We have learned, I'm on the negotiating team for the school committee, we're working on a new contract for the teachers, and the cell phones have not been a central issue, but...
I would think the teachers would support the idea of keeping the cell phones out of class just for the amount of time that you have to work on, not only enforcing, but if there's a uniform enforcing policy, that makes it easier for them to say, look, it's just the way it is. Put your cell phones away. Put them in the pockets. Whatever it takes. You know, it's time to learn. It's time to be in class today and be present.
There's it's interesting the how clever students can be, though. they're a step ahead of whatever the policy is. They have grown up with cell phones as part of their lives, and for somebody my age, cell phones are really something still that's alien and always will be alien. But that's not their experience, but the idea of banning cell phones, which is being tried, I'd love to see how it works out in Los Angeles, is certainly one that other districts are looking at. It may be that we need to ratchet up the nature of the violation for having a cell phone or using a cell phone. It's treated as kind of, some people may take offense at this, it's treated as a kind of innocuous offense in school. Mainly the worst that can happen is that the cell phone gets confiscated.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be enough to deter students from using them. They have burner phones, so they will turn in cell phones, but they'll still have another phone that they can use. So it's going to be a continuing problem, and I think we need to look seriously as a school district at how clearly it's an interference with the ability of students to learn, not just the phone users, but the other students in the class as well. So
It really does affect the entire culture of a classroom and a school in a lot of ways these days also, doesn't it? Because, and it's not that it seems like that the older folks are saying, well, you ought to learn the way we did. I don't think there's that. It's more of a case of how engaged can you be while you have a distraction right there, you know, a foot and a half away from you.
Yeah, there's no question that's the case. I mean, kids are watching movies or playing video games or who knows what on their cell phones. It has nothing to do with what's going on instructionally in the classroom. And so that and then the interruption of a teacher trying to deal with that, it makes for a somewhat disorderly environment in class.
Yeah, for sure. And so the other things, it's always nice, I'm sure, to sit on the stage while the graduates are coming across and seeing the result of 12 plus years of work in getting the students across that stage and handing them the diplomas. What's that like to be up there?
It makes me very proud. The Pittsfield Public Schools gets a lot of criticism for MCAS-related issues, and I don't know what else. There are plenty of things people find that they to complain about. But the one thing I think they can't complain about is the quality of the education that we can offer students. There are some outstanding academic achievements by students who graduated this year, and every single graduate, whether they sailed through or whether it was a real struggle for them, every single graduate, I think, deserves an enormous credit for the effort that they've put into the education we offer them. And I think we need to give a shout out to the teachers in particular who work with these students and who guide them in their studies. We have a lot to be proud of in Pittsfield. I want to also make note of the fact that there is a third graduation ceremony, which is the William Stickney Adult Learning Center. And
right.
Of all the events I attend, and I've found this for years, of all the events I attend, that one is the most affecting, I think, is the best way to put it. These are people who have overcome real obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
They have left school before they've completed school. The reasons are all over the place. But there's no single reason why people drop out of school.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, it has nothing to do with academics. It has to do with personal issues or family issues. These people have come back, and they have put the effort into the work that's necessary in order to graduate from high school. And those people are heroic, I think. They have really overcome obstacles to achieve the things that they've been able to do with the Adult Learning Center. I was very happy earlier when I was in the school committee to have the Adult Learning Center to propose, and it was accepted, to name it for Bill Stickney, who was a very good friend of mine and who I think exemplified in his own life the ability to overcome hurdles to achieve great things. And
so he was a longtime champion and operator of that program as well.
He was. Right? Yeah. He was. That was basically what his career in Pittsfield
was.
And so I think that the program has continued to provide excellent service to people who want to graduate from high school yeah. long after their age, if you will, mm-hmm. has precluded them from returning.
Do other districts in Berkshire County offer a similar program to the Adult Learning Center that Pittsfield does?
It seems
like that's something very special that that Pittsfield does.
There may be another program that I'm not familiar with it. I don't want to say there isn't,
yeah.
But I suspect that we have the largest one. Mm. And anyway, the graduation from that was really a moving event.
Yeah, good to see, and so many other events that happen at the end of the year: awards ceremonies and final performances, concerts, art shows, all the. Display of the great work that students have put in, and as you mentioned also, the teachers behind them, because I think everybody can remember a great teacher in their own history, someone who maybe turned the tide for them, or someone that unlocked something that had previously been, you know, unattainable for a student, and suddenly you say, oh, that's right, she made me do that work, and it felt hard at the time, but man, I'm really glad she did that.
Now, that's an excellent point, Sean. We do applaud the work of our students. Mm-hmm. As I said, some students are excellent in the academic area. Some students find it a harder slog. Mm-hmm. But the profession of teaching has changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. Well, there are a number of factors. I mean, people are probably familiar with them. School accountability is one. Mm. The fact that there are so many students with issues that we didn't used to encounter coming to school. Mm-hmm. There's pressure, particularly on core subjects for that's imposed by the state on right. school districts. And teachers are responsible for all of that those instructional mm-hmm. Objectives, but they also have to interact with their students as fellow human beings, and I think that's the point you were getting at. It's not just academic excellence; it's also providing a role model or providing somebody that somebody that the student can relate to, mm-hmm. somebody who has high expectations for the student, and the student reacts positively to mm-hmm. to that. That's so important for so many young people.
Yeah.
And
oftentimes some of those same teachers are coaches in their athletics, or they might be advisors to a program or something like that also. So
right.
students sometimes get a couple of different connections to those folks.
Right. No, that's a good point. There are different aspects for the of the interaction between the adults we have in working in our schools and the students whom they're there to serve.
Mm-hmm. So that's good to see. And of course, I wanted to also ask about the first year, and that we're speaking, by the way, with Bill Cameron, chair of the Pittsfield Public School Committee here on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. The 2023 to 2024 school year was the first year where Taconic High School was fully accepting only vocational students, right? There are still, I think, one or two classes that are working their way through that are a mixture of vocational and traditional education, but now it's basically going to be all vocational school. How was that first year experience, in your opinion, as a school committee member?
Well, from my perspective, it's been very successful. You'd need Matt Bishop, who is the principal,
sure.
to come on. He could give you the hour by yeah. hour experience, yeah. but certainly from the school committee's perspective. We have now, I believe, 15 programs operating at Taconic. I would say that, you know, McCann has a long and well-deserved reputation mm-hmm. for quality. Taconic used to be a kind of distant second. I mm-hmm. think Taconic's right up there with McCann, if not surpassing McCann at this point. And I say that not to try to get into a contest with McCann, but the appreciation of the quality of the vocational programming at Taconic, the appreciation in the community and in surrounding communities, I think has been remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of students now. I don't want to give you a more than a ballpark figure, but we have well over 20 students, I believe, who are now coming from out of district for programs that we offer that they don't have access to otherwise.
It sounded like there might have even been more if there was more space for them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a packed school at this point in
it
terms
is.
Of the capacity of the school was 900 and some odd 35, 40, whatever
right.
students, and it's right up to capacity. Is there a lottery or something for folks from outside the district to apply for and get into Taconic at this point?
Well, yes, there would we would have to provide. If we could fill every slot with students from Pittsfield, then that would be our moral as well as our legal obligation to provide those programs for our students. If we have an excess number of students from out of district applying that for slots that we may have available, we would have to do it by lottery. Yes.
Yeah. But that's been a big success story for sure, is seeing that. And that was a big decision, right? I know it was discussed during the school building plans for Taconic High School, and that was actually one of the things that sort of delayed the process of building Taconic High School. Was at one point it was suggested that it was going to be an all vocational school, but it was going to be a district of its own, I think, if I remember correctly. And then that was rejected, and then it stayed within the Pittsfield Public Schools, but as a mixed school of vocational and traditional.
That's correct. Mm. And making it its own school district would have been an extremely unwieldy thing. It would have to have been a regional school the way that McCann is. Mm-hmm. And so you would have had overlays of districts on one another. It would probably be virtually unmanageable from a governance point of view. But as I said, we have so many programs now. You're certainly familiar with one of them. We have one that's featuring TV and radio and communications.
Right. Fantastic program.
And we have an outstanding horticulture program that's relatively new.
I think the environmental science one is coming online or very soon to be coming online
right? Right. Yeah. So we do have a broad range of programs. And one thing I want to take note of is the community support for these programs. I mean, vocational programs are intended to enable students to graduate and have options when they get out. Some kids go on to higher education.
Yep.
Some kids go into trades or other fields of work.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had great support from local employers in helping us upgrade the quality of the programs as well as placing our graduates.
Yeah.
I know this has been noted before, and I don't want to suggest that this is by any means the only example I could cite, but Haddad Motors, and in particular George Haddad, has done a terrific job in working with Toyota to make us a kind of state-of-the-art vocational program for car automobile repair.
Yep.
And that's an example of what we have been able to work out. Tammy Gage, who's the assistant superintendent, who's responsible for the vocational programming and career and college readiness programming, she has been instrumental as well. I mean, we've got a first-rate faculty. It's administratively, I think that the school is very well run. The programming is very high quality.
Yeah.
And I think that the enrollments that we're seeing are evidence. People are voting with their feet. They want their kids, or the kids themselves want to go to Taconic.
Right. Well, it's certainly a win-win for the employers as well, because those folks that are coming through Taconic High School and graduating someday may be their employers and their employees, rather. And it certainly behooves them to know that the training they're getting in high school will prepare them for the eventual work and some of the co-op work that they do already. I think of the nursing program health tech, right. for example. Right. So many needs in the community for employees to keep people in Berkshire County after they graduate high school. That's always the thing that people talk about where, you know, they families and kids would like to say, well, we're going to, you know, finish up here and then go somewhere else. And it doesn't have to be that way. There's plenty of opportunities here in those careers that Taconic and vocational education in general are preparing people for.
I think that's correct. I think that there are work opportunities here mm-hmm. for graduates of those programs. I would like to just note one thing, though, and I know this is an issue that Ms. Gage has made, not an issue so much as a point that she's made. Taconic is not simply a trade school.
Right.
Taconic is an academic high school as mm-hmm, well. Mm-hmm. Students have to, for better or worse, they have to be able to pass the MCAS test for 10th grade. They also take a full range of subjects. If you want to take AP Physics, you can do it at Taconic mm-hmm. Or AP Advanced Placement English. So you're getting a well-rounded education there. Mm-hmm. I'd mentioned a moment ago that there are students who graduate from Taconic with vocational training mm-hmm. who go on to four-year colleges. Right. They may or may not work in the trades that mm-hmm. they studied when they were in high school, yeah. but it's prepared them for four-year college work as well.
Yeah, and that is how vocational education has changed and developed over the years from what some people will remember as right. vocational education to what it really needs to be today. And those changes are clearly indicated there with 15 programs at Taconic High School. Bill Cameron is my guest here. He's the chair of the Pittsfield Public School Committee. We've got a couple minutes before the top of the hour break, and we'll speak with him again on the other half of that today. Glad to have him here.
I'm glad to be here.
So, and let's just jump into restructuring plans, and it's just sort of beginning at this point to talk about what might happen at the middle school level. In Pittsfield, and it's you know, nothing set in stone yet, but there's some discussion about maybe changing the model. Right now we have a 6, 7, and 8 model for middle school in two different schools, and if you live in one part of town, you go to one school, and you live in another part of town, you go to the other school. And some of the talk is that we might have one school for 5th and 6th grade and another school for 7th and 8th grade. How do you see that working? Is that a good approach for some of the challenges, let's say, that the public schools have had at the middle school level?
Well, I think we have, trying to think, when we switched from junior high schools to middle schools, it was well over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I think we can conclude that our implementation of the middle school model is not highly successful. There are some kids who succeed quite well. There are many kids who don't. There are issues having to do with the environment in the schools that a lot of parents have concerns about.
It's a tough age and in any case,
right? It is a tough age.
Mm-hmm.
When I was superintendent in Salem, there were K-8 schools, which you could opt into, as well as there being a middle school. There is no perfect model for schools because different kids need different ways that their education is organized. And we could have a long discussion about that. But with specific reference to the middle school, I think that the model that you just mentioned, where the middle one grade would leave the elementary school and go into a 5-6 middle school, I think that has some benefits. If we're mm-hmm. going to run out of time now, we can talk about them in a moment.
Yeah.
But it would integrate the populations of in Pittsfield so that all kids in Pittsfield would go together to a particular school where their grade cohorts would be located. I think that has benefits. I think that having a stricter band of aged students will make it more manageable. I think it will enable the faculty to have more effective professional development and focus on a much more narrow range of grades.
Mm.
So I think that there are real advantages to looking at this. We have not run, we have not, what am I trying to say, come out with a fully detailed model for mm-hmm. this. It's been discussed, mm-hmm. but the clock's ticking, because if we're going to do this a year from now, we need to get the community involved so they understand what we're talking about.
Right.
And then we need to do planning with the teachers. There will be effects that will have to be negotiated with the United Educators of Pittsfield. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of work to be done, but yeah. I do think it's a promising model.
Mm. Also, probably some logistical challenges like busing and getting right. kids there and different time schedules and things like that, I would imagine. Class sizes, all that stuff has to be worked out and figured out.
Right. Transportation will be an issue because we won't have any residential zones for schools.
Right.
So you would have citywide busing for the both middle
Yeah.
middle schools, if that were the case.
Yeah. But I would think even the change from Pittsfield High into Conic changing recently, that probably also involves some transportation changes as well. So it can be done. Right. There are ways to do it. And so we'll talk more about the middle school reorganization and lots of other things. We have reached that top of the hour break, so let's do that right now. You're listening to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, speaking this morning with Bill Cameron, the chair of the Pittsfield Public School Committee. We'll be right back after this short break. Stick around.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield.
Vessel send shockwaves around the world.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's evcohypnosis.com.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is.
Start saving early. Even if it is $5 a week, setting aside money on a regular basis builds the habit of saving.
Just because you have a coupon doesn't mean you need to buy it now.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. I'm Sean Sayre here with you live and local in our WTBR studio on Federico Drive. It is Friday, June 21st, and Bill Cameron is my guest this morning, the chair of the Pittsfield Public School Committee, talking about education and cell phones and budgets and restructuring and school buildings, all kinds of good stuff here this morning. I know we won't get to it all, but we'll do our best. First, let's get to the weather forecast and find out what's in store for us here today.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this morning, then numerous showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind and heavy rainfall. Hot with highs in the upper 80s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Numerous showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the evening. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind and heavy rainfall in the evening. Humid with lows in the mid-60s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Saturday, mostly cloudy with scattered showers in the morning, then partly sunny with numerous showers and scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind and heavy rainfall in the afternoon. Hot with highs in the mid-80s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, you heard that. We have to gear up for some more wet weather and potential thunderstorms. Still hot in the upper 80s, so you'll just have to live with it. It is summer now. We're officially in the summer season, astronomical summer. I think we've been in summer for a little while, but now it's official. So welcome back to the program here, Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And Dr. Bill Cameron, thanks again for joining us here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we were just talking about the potential for changing around the model of middle school education here in Pittsfield, potentially over the next year or so, being, you know, sort of the design stage, I guess is what you would call it. And that'll be an interesting outcome to see how that all works its way through. Certainly, people have been discussing it for a long time. You have at the school committee level, and I think people in general, families, have been talking about it as well. The other big thing that's happened this year was a submission of a statement of interest for a new school building on the Crosby property, which would also kind of take in a new model, right? Talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, the school committee approved, and then the city council ratified the approval of a submittal to the Massachusetts School Building Authority for work. I'll just say work, because yeah, you can't tell them what they're going to do. They'll decide what they're going to do on Crosby. Mm-hmm. We have an issue with some of our school buildings. There were major renovations were done in the late 90s on many of the schools in Pittsfield, but there were several, namely the community schools, Pittsfield High School, which is a thing unto itself as a project,
right,
and Crosby, were not at that time deemed to be sufficiently physically needy to warrant Massachusetts spending tens of millions of dollars helping us renovate schools.
At the time, a couple of those were only 25 years old, which is amazing to me if you think about it. But now they're 50 years
old. Now they're 50 years old. And there has, I think it's fair to say, there has always been a problem with the community schools. Mm-hmm. Not physically, that is, they're not dangerous or sites or anything like that. But in terms of instructionally, the open space classroom was a model that was heavily followed. It was viewed as a really progressive move in the 1970s, and it has some advantages, but it has huge disadvantages. Mm. And when you take populations of kids who may be struggling in school or may need more work than some other groups of kids do in order for them to be successful, and you put them in a visually and audially distracting environment where you've got people in different parts of these large areas talking and so forth and moving around, it's just not a good environment for students to learn.
Yeah.
There may be some kids who thrive there. There have been, but by and large, I don't think it's been a successful model. It's been tried, and I think we need to look at something really that's more traditional in terms of the physical organization mm-hmm. of instruction.
Yeah, there aren't too many open space classroom model schools still remaining. There were many of them at one point, and I think right. most of them have gone the way of the dodo at this point. So this school that would be built on the Crosby campus is actually kind of two schools in one with some common areas. That's how it's envisioned, right?
That's what we're trying. That's what we need to talk to the MSBA, the School Building Authority, about. Crosby was built as a junior high school, and then it converted to a middle school, and now it's converted to an elementary school. And for whatever reason, the building is in very poor shape. You could start at the bottom floor and work up. There are problems throughout the building, and it seems that I'm not an engineer, I'm not an architect, I'm not a finance specialist, but it seems that it would be a huge waste of money to try to renovate a building like that, particularly when it's not very far physically and where the attendance area for it is not very far physically from another school where there are issues, namely Conte Community School, formerly Westside. So what we're looking at, and this is a long-term project, is we're looking at possibly reorganizing all of the elementary schools in Pittsfield over a span of a decade or more, starting on the west side, which has not benefited from renovations the way that other parts of the city have benefited.
Right.
And so we're looking at... There's been a lot of discussion about having basically two schools on one site with some common areas between them so that the lower grades and the upper grades would be physically distinct from each other.
Yeah.
And so that's we should know from MSBA by late fall where things stand. And then it will become interesting because the state will then expect there to be local funding put into the planning project.
Right.
And some of that funding, Pittsfield probably would realize a very high percentage, maybe 70% of it could be recovered through MSBA grants, but it still would be a major expense for the city just to plan for it, let alone all of the construction that would be needed.
But fair to say that, all schools are aging one way or the other, and they can't last forever, not like Pittsfield High School that seems to be ageless in some ways, except for the boilers and some other physical issues. But for the most part, Pittsfield High School will probably outlive all of these schools by centuries.
I think that's true. They don't. public buildings are not constructed the way they were in the Depression, which is when Pittsfield High School was built. Former Superintendent John Krieger used to point out that Pittsfield High School was built during the Depression. It was a building that the city was and can still be proud of. It's a remarkable facility, but it's aging.
Yeah.
And you'd mentioned the boilers. That's a huge issue. The first time I ever saw the boiler room there, it reminded me of a scene from the movie Reds with Warren Beatty. That took place in the St. Petersburg Railway Station, because apparently those are actually locomotive boilers. That's what I've been told in Pittsfield High School.
I don't know how much of it is legend, but from what I've heard, they were actually trucked in, right?
They look like it.
Came off of the rail. They were brought over to Pittsfield High School, and the school was built around them.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. And dismantling, I mean, they're long past their usefulness.
Sure. Almost 100 years.
And Brian Filio, the city's maintenance director, indicated that during COVID, when the schools had to keep the windows open and the heat on in the winter, that the heat was on virtually continuously in a lot of buildings. Mm. And those boilers, which are probably 90 years old at least, they're simply past their prime.
Sure.
I mean, so it's going to be a project. They have to be cut up to get out. I mean, there's no way you could just remove them without tearing half the building down to get them out.
Right.
So it's going to be a project that will go on into the fall.
Mm-hmm. And I think I heard at one of the school committee meetings that there would also be a portable boiler brought in on a truck.
That's what
I understand. And that could potentially heat the school while they're working on the boilers inside the school.
That's what I understand. Yes.
Fascinating. But, you know, it has to be done. You have to have a building with heat, especially in Berkshire County in the winter. And, you know, they have to work and they have to be dependable. So,
yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to the maintenance department of the city for the work that they have done in some of these older facilities, such as Crosby, as well as Pittsfield High School. They are not working with optimal equipment in those facilities, and there have been problems, but the city has done its best to stay on top of these so that we can keep the schools open. I know there have been heating problems, in, particularly in Pittsfield High School, ever since I can remember. Some parts are too cold, some parts are too hot, but I think the city has made a sincere effort over the years to do what it can to keep these things working.
Yeah, and hats off to them as well. We're speaking with Dr. Bill Cameron, the chair of the Pittsfield Public School Committee, and this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. So, Bill, you spent, I would say, majority of your career in education, in schools, in administration, superintendent in a couple of different districts as well.
Four.
Salem, Lenox, what were the other two?
Central Berkshire. Central Berkshire and what was Union 70, which was Richmond. Right. Richmond, Hancock, and New Ashford.
And you indeed spent a good amount of time in the Mercer building and in the administration there. There have been some changes proposed for next year for the administration part of Mercer. Detail that for us a little bit and then tell us what you think about that going forward. Is that a good plan?
I think that the plan that the superintendent proposed, which was tweaked by the school committee, is a good plan for what we need at this time. Mm-hmm. We've had a deputy superintendent, for example, for 30-some years as a position.
Yep.
We've had a curriculum department. The title has changed to Department of Teaching and Learning for ever since I started working here. It's had one configuration or another. We have a number of schools. This is no secret. The superintendents talked about it, and it's well known in the community. We have a number of schools that are not performing to the level that the state accountability system accepts as acceptable. Hmm. And we need to focus on those in a way that exceeds what the general responsibilities are in the school district. So Mr. Curtis has proposed two assistant superintendencies, eliminate the position of deputy, eliminate the director of teaching and learning, recreate those as two assistant superintendencies. One of the positions would be funded, not completely, but funded predominantly with grant money so that there would actually be a savings, and have one of those positions focus on improving the accountability status of the schools that are deemed underperforming by the state. The other would be basically the number two position in the district, dealing with things that the deputy or the formerly the assistant superintendent would deal with. And we've eliminated several positions. It's not necessarily a good idea, but financially, that's what we think we need to do is in the Department of Teaching and Learning. And so
traditionally a curriculum, essentially, teaching and learning.
Right. So there are we've cut some positions there. We've eliminated some teaching positions, not because we think that it's a great idea to cut teaching positions, but our enrollment has relatively stabilized, and we've had some very small class sizes in some schools. And so from time to time, I think it's important to reevaluate the level of staffing that you have. We do that with paraprofessionals every year, since the great majority of them are special needs, assigned to work in special needs programming. We have to determine what we need in the coming year based on what students' IEPs require. Mm-hmm. So the reevaluation of staffing levels is something that happens every year. It's not always a happy time for sure,
right.
But I do think it's a responsible thing to do.
And I would imagine some years can be more difficult than others. In the last few years with some of the federal ESSER money that was around, it made some decisions easier, I would think, to be able to put in support staff and people that could make those results better. And then, of course, that ESSER money has now ended, and that was almost like getting the rug pulled out from under the school budget, I would imagine. There was a big challenge this year as far as the number of what was the term, underfunded students or families across the state, low-income families throughout the state, which was going to impact the city's schools in a very negative way. And I know Kristen Behnke was able to spearhead the effort to get that reversed. She found some mistakes in some of the state's numbers, and that changed the fortunes of Pittsfield. Then there was a cut to the budget from the city council. So there's all kind of a mix of things going on that will affect next year's school budget and teaching positions and administrative positions, I would think.
Yeah, the city council's cut is not going to affect the staffing in the school district. Mm. We'll find a way, and we'll approve a revised budget at the next meeting, which is a week from today's what? Friday.
Friday, yeah.
Okay, it's this coming Wednesday. we will approve a revised budget. It will not adversely affect anyone's employment.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the ESSER money, these infusions of money from grants have a downside.
Right.
And the ESSER money was certainly welcome. I think we did, we created some positions that at the time we had them were valuable. I wish we could have kept some of them.
And very needed during the pandemic period as well.
Needed during the pandemic, needed for recovering students and helping families recover from the effects of the pandemic, not the medical consequences, but the social consequences of it. We could not keep them all. It was too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them we've kept, and that partly the savings that have been realized through other reductions have to some extent gone to keep positions that were sort of experimental positions that have worked out with ESSER money. But it does impose a hardship, and it's easy to say that 3 years out this money's going to go away. The people who are in those positions and the people whom those staff members are working with experience that as a loss when the 3 years is up.
Yeah.
And it's not, as I said, it's not a happy time. It's not something anyone looks forward to. And it's most unfortunate that we can't maintain that level of staffing, but it's simply not possible.
Yeah. And you mentioned several sort of underperforming schools as far as the state benchmarks and the accountability factor for that. And obviously the reasons and the causes for that are complex. There isn't one silver bullet that will solve all those problems. There won't be any one particular person that could make any turnaround with that. It's a long game, I would think. But what are some of the answers that we would be looking for to say if a particular school needs more help? How do we get that to them? How do we make those schools more successful?
Well, one of the things we have to do is stabilize the leadership at the schools.
Mm.
We've had, particularly at the middle school level, we have had a number of people functioning over the years as principals who have, for whatever reason, this is not a criticism of the individuals,
mm-hmm.
but we have had turnover sometimes year to year in the school leadership, the principals and sometimes the team of people who work with the principals. Stability for the leadership of the school, in the leadership of the school, is a way to convey to the faculty at the school that we have a program that we want to implement. We need to share responsibility for its implementation rather than every year having somebody coming in with new ideas. This isn't a fault, new ideas.
No.
We should always look at things that we may be doing, but some ability to rely on things remaining the same from year to year, the same arrangements, the same people you would go to for help with problems. Mm-hmm. That's crucial. And also, we need to look at the effectiveness of the instruction that the teachers are providing. This is, again, not a criticism. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we have bad teachers at all. We have some outstanding teachers. Mm-hmm. But we do need to look at whether, given the students who are sitting in class, are going to benefit from instruction the way that we may be designing it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to leave it up to the people who have to actually deliver the instruction to make those assessments. But I do think that a combination of stability of school leadership and constant revisitation of the way that we're providing instruction to our students will go a long way toward helping us turn things around. Mm. We do need the support of families in this, too.
Right.
And
it's fair to say also that the students at the Pittsfield Public Schools are educating may have different needs and challenges than some of the neighboring school districts. And it's just the nature of the population, the demographics that we have, all those things factor in to the point of, well, maybe we need a different approach than some of the neighboring districts have.
You know, I've had people over the years ask me what is, people say moving, what a good school district is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think a good school district is one where the students work up to the level of their full potential.
Mm.
And if you want to see a bad school district, I don't think you look at school districts that have high percentages of low-income people who have large percentages of people for whom English is not a first language. I don't think that's what a bad school district looks like. That's a challenging school district.
Yeah.
A bad school district would be if you took a well-off population of students, economically well-off, and they did not were not high-performing. That would be a low-performing school district, because there's an iron correlation, and there has been for generations, between the performance on standardized tests and the income of the people who are sending their kids to the schools.
Mm.
And it's not to say that these are not good parents. It's not to say that they are not loving parents who support their children. But some kids come to school with more opportunities before they ever set foot in the school.
They were born on third base.
They were born, yeah, like Ann Richards
said. Going back to the baseball.
Yes. He was born on third base or thought he'd hit a triple.
Right. But that is ultimately, some of the challenges and also some of the costs, right, is that if you're educating a large percentage of people where English is not their first language, that isn't as easy or cheap as bringing in a teacher who can, you know, just address the English-speaking students. Now you're really
right.
Trying to reach students in a different language.
Yeah, I don't look at the increased number of people who are from countries where English isn't spoken. I don't look at them as a problem for us. They're an opportunity.
It's a real
for
strength
us.
In a lot of ways, too.
I think it is.
I think of the Pittsfield High School graduation ceremony, where the very beginning was all the students coming up in different languages and talking about the graduation. And there were about 10 or 12 of those. It was a wonderful moment. And that's something that's a strength of the Pittsfield Public Schools.
And I think that the opportunity is created for the community by people from other countries coming to Pittsfield to live will have enormous benefits long term for this community, but we now face the challenge of providing these people's children with an education that will satisfy state requirements and that will get them on the road to success after high school. And so that you're right, that does add costs to the instructional efforts we have to make.
Special education as well, I would think, and some of those costs were brought out during the budget process. Also, transportation, for example.
Yeah. Well, as you had noted before, with the reorganization, that is going to cause us to look at our transportation system, and we're going to have to obviously continue to transport students, but it will lead to changes.
Yeah. It's been a great conversation this morning. Dr. Bill Cameron has been my guest, and fascinating. I didn't get to all the topics I wanted to talk about, but we'll get there in the next episode. Thanks again for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And folks, have a great weekend coming up. Dodge those raindrops if you can, and avoid the heat. But enjoy it. It's summer. That's what we've been waiting for, isn't it? Summer. Morning Drive. We'll see you next week. Take care, everybody.